song. It's the thrill of one more kill, the last one to fall. We'll never sacrifice their will. Don't ever look back on the world closing in. Be on the attack with your wings on the wind.
Giants 20, Bears 12. Welcome to Talking Giants presented by SeatGeek. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. And once again, we are celebrating a victory Monday. The Giants are 3-1. Justin, I think you put out a tweet. This is the first time and maybe ever that the Giants are 3-1 after four games or last 10, 15 years or something like that. This was a fun game. It was ugly, but that's the way this Giants team is going to win this year. You know, the expectations were low for this team, so every win feels great for this New York Giants team, especially when the guys that are long-term pieces play well, which is essentially across the board for the New York Giants today. And this game was won off of the running game of Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones, and then the defense led to a W, hold the Bears to 12 points, and three of those points came off of a muff field goal, punt return by Richie James. Justin, how are you feeling on another Victory Monday?
Bobby Skinner, that game was whack. That was a crazy, like, wild, insane game. There came a point during that three-minute final play of the game where the Bears just kept throwing it back and forth, backwards, running forward. There came a point where I'm just like, score here, and then don't get the two-point conversion because that game just got crazier and crazier. Two quarterbacks get hurt. Saquon Barkley's a quarterback for an entire series. Wild stuff. But yeah, you mentioned it. You know, I had Julian go back all the way back to 2012. The Giants started 0-4 three times. They started 1-3 twice. They started 2-2, 1-2-3 five times, and 3-1, 2022. This is the best start that they have had, at least over the last 10 years. So we are winners once again. It's great to see you. Let's talk Giants.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about in this game. From I think the coaching did a really good job on both sides of the ball. Obviously, we have to talk about the quarterback situation because, I mean, we played 18 minutes of this game essentially with no quarterback, with a hobbled Daniel Jones and a concussed Tyrod Taylor. So we'll talk all about that. But I think it should start with the run game. Run the damn ball 2022. We talked about it all training camp. This game showed that more than anything. 262 rushing yards and 71 passing yards in this game. Daniel Jones had six carries for 68 yards and two touchdowns. Tyrod Taylor had three for 30, so the quarterbacks had almost 100 yards rushing on their own. And then obviously Saquon, 31 carries for 146 yards, two catches for 16 yards. He came into the game leading the NFL in scrimmage yards and put up 162 yards on the board. Like, I was watching Clem's video. He's like, he's not back. He's better than back.
He is. Like, he's better than what he was in 2018.
Yeah, because in 2018, it was a lot of like all or nothing type stuff. Saquon Barkley is taking advantage of every crease that's there, and he's taking negative plays and turning them into positive plays. Like, he's not wasting time behind the line of scrimmage. He's just become an efficient back who is extremely explosive as well. And the Giants are not 3-1 without him. They are at worst, or at best, 1-3 without Saquon Barkley this season.
No, I agree. I agree, man. And it does help when you have a better offensive line. Now, I know we give a lot of shit for the pass-blocking offensive line right now, and the Giants' game plan literally today, the entire game plan was, we are not going to allow the Giants' pass-blocking offensive line to derail the game. They also took advantage of the Bears' defense being very aggressive against the run, so it's not just not trusting your offensive line. But Saquon Barkley is definitely benefiting from having a, you know, a better run-blocking offensive line. It's still not great, I would say. But he is back, man. And he's not only back, I think he is playing better than ever, better than his 2018 season. So, Bobby, this is just a big historical day. I mean, I mentioned how this is our best record that we've had over the last 10 years through four games, 3-1. Great. You might have even saw this tweet, but when's the last time that we had a really, really good rushing day similar to this? Like, when's the last game where we ran for more than 262 rushing yards? Can you tell me?
I think it probably had to be 2008, right?
Yeah, 2008, week 14 against Carolina Panthers. Derek Ward had 15 attempts, 215 yards. Brandon Jacobs had 24 attempts, 87 yards. So there were two runners there. This game, there were four runners that contributed to the 262 yards that we had today. So run the damn ball. That 2008 season went pretty well, and this 2022 season's going pretty well.
Yeah, and obviously once the QB went down, they had to like really, really just hand him the ball every single time.
Talk about this. I want to talk about this too, where we've never had, rarely over the last couple years. Bobby, when's the last time we had a lead in the first half and then the Giants were tasked with keeping it in the second half? When has that happened? Can you name me a game? When are we not coming back?
I probably could, but
I mean, I think maybe like the Panthers last year where we won like 25-3.
Well, even then, I think we were down. I don't know. But anyways, yeah.
Like, but it's rare. But it's rare.
The Giants felt in control of this game the entire time. Even when the QBs went down, they felt just like there was no panic for me. It's like we're going to win this game.
Part of that is because the Bears are bad. I mean, Bears are
a big part of it is Justin Fields is just a bad quarterback.
Like, but overall, the Giants are still a team that needs to prove that they belong and they need to find ways to win games. You know, they need to earn that right. It's not just a given. So the first half time of possession, the Giants had 12 minutes and 31 seconds. The Bears had they held the ball longer in the first half than the Giants did. I'm not a big guy in like time of possession, but hear me out here when I talk about the second half. The Giants had 18 minutes and 46 seconds of time of possession in the second half. When you are winning and when you are leading in a game, which this is what good teams do, they get leads early. The Giants finally scored a touchdown in the first half. They scored two touchdowns in the first half, and that is what catapulted them to victory. And even when crap started to go wrong and everybody and their mother on the offensive, defensive side of the ball were getting hurt, yeah, the offense that was still able to sustain drives to put some field goals on the board. Saquon Barkley was a quarterback for an entire series, and you know they picked up a first down, took time off the clock, and defense forced negative plays. And those are the little things that you're looking for in a season that doesn't really mean much, I think, in the whole rebuilding process that this team is really looking for. These are the signs that you want to look for. Getting a lead early, keeping it. We haven't seen the Giants do that yet. Everything has been come from behind. So, awesome. Even though it's against a really bad Chicago Bears team, awesome stuff.
Something we talked about coming into this year, and it was part of your opening monologue on our first preview pod, is that changing the culture means winning some games this year.
Yep.
It doesn't mean going 10-7, not even 9-8. But it means winning some games this year. If the coaching is truly the right coaching staff, the Giants will win some games this year, and that's what they've shown to do. Yeah, it's like, oh, well, they beat the Titans, the Panthers, and the Bears. Okay, did we beat those teams last year? We beat the Panthers, but even that Panthers team was a much worse team than it was this year. And Saquon Barkley being as good as he is has been a huge part of that, and getting and a team that has Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka as their offensive minds come from the pass happiest offenses in the NFL and running the ball. I also want to talk about how Saquon's performance today is better than the stats show, because you look at, well, you're like, oh, he had 146 yards, but he had 31 carries. So I did pre and post no quarterback. Pre Tyrod Taylor injury, he had 22 carries for 125 yards. That's 5.6 yards per attempt. That's amazing. Even when they knew that every single play we were running the ball, he averaged 3 yards per carry. He had 9 carries for 27 yards, but that obviously drags it down a little bit. Also, he just, like, there was that catch he had, the screen,
that screen play. Pass, yeah.
That turned 0 points into 7. That turned 0 points into 7 to have the ability to break the tackle and then reverse the field. Daniel Jones blocking, which always gets me fired up.
Electric.
You know, stuff like that.
Electric.
Like, and it was actually like a lot of times we're like, oh, the QB blocked and he just gets in the way. It was actually like a really good block on Jaquan Brisker by the from the Bears. And they end up scoring a couple plays later, or maybe even a play later on that. Like, that's the difference between winning and losing, is that one play there. And obviously, Saquon just, rushing the ball down in, down out has a huge part of it. But like, that's a singular play right there where Saquon does something that, 99% of running backs can't do, and you add 7 points to the board. So
that was a third and long, too.
Yeah, it was a third and 15, and it would have been a fourth and 22 out of field goal range if they tackle him he catches the ball and he's essentially wrapped up. He breaks that tackle, has the vision to reverse the field and create a first down, and now we're scoring the ball a few plays later.
Yeah, that was electric. Electric stuff from Saquon Daniel Jones. Super fun. Led to a good first half.
Want to talk about the passing game and Daniel Jones in general?
Well, yeah, I mean, you were talking about coaching. I kind of want to talk about
This goes hand in hand.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I broke down Daniel Jones' stats by play action, straight drop, back and screen pass. And in fact, every single play action was under the center play action, by the way, too. There was no just shotgun play action. So under center play action, Daniel Jones was 5 of 7 for 42 yards, 3 carries, 36 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a sack. So that's 11 plays right there. Straight drop back, 2 for 5 for 14 yards and 1 drop. And then a screen play, 1 for 1, 15 yards. Also, you add on top of that, 3 plays that had penalties on it. The 17-yard pass to David Sills, which was kind of a bogus call. And probably Daniel Jones' best throw of the game, too. Besides maybe the Tanner Hudson drop. Gets called back. That's under center play action. The 6-yard pass to Daniel Bellinger, called back for illegal man downfield. That's under center play action. And then the defensive pass interference to Darius Slayton, that was under the center play action. So, 14 out of 21, like, plays where the ball's in Daniel Jones' hands, besides read options, were under the center play action. Like, they knew their limitations with, one, the wide receiver room and their offensive line, and really schemed around it and played it. We know the Bears coming into this game were an aggressive stack, even though they're bad stopping the run. They're going to be aggressive and stack the box to try and stop the run, and I think there was even more so because they knew the Giants were so good running the ball, and the Giants took advantage of that, one, in the passing game with the tight end slipping out, and then Daniel Jones with his legs as well.
Yeah, the most efficient play in football is when a quarterback drops back and runs the ball. Not a designed QB run, not a read option necessarily, but when a quarterback drops back and is looking to throw the ball and then they tuck it and then they scramble, that is the most efficient play in football. And I think you started to see it a little bit against Dallas, but it was just full-fledged on today. You saw it really, really work today. Daniel Jones, 2 rushing touchdowns. The last time that he had 2 rushing touchdowns, Bobby. When was the last time he had 2 rushing touchdowns in a game?
I know the real answer, but the real answer should be that Eagles game where they called that one touchdown back. But the real answer is the Bucs game, I think.
His first game as a starter, he had 2 rushing touchdowns and led to a Giants victory. Look at so many stats. This is the first time that this happened till then. Love it.
But good on Mike Kafka, again, for adjusting to what your personnel is one, running the ball. You know, we know damn well they did that in this game, even before the quarterbacks got injured. And then, like, hey, our wide receivers are kind of an issue. We know the Bears are going to play the run heavy. Let's get under center and run play action out of it. Kind of similar to what the Cowboys did to the Giants last week, even though it was a little different in the way they ran their play action. But got into running formations and threw the ball out of it. And that led to, you know, essentially all of Daniel Jones' passing yards besides three plays. And then, you know, the 2 touchdowns where they were playing aggressive and Daniel Jones, like, his legs are a weapon. They're a big part of his game, and they led to 2 touchdowns.
The Giants had how many gross passing yards, Bobby? 71. I mean, sorry, net passing
71.
Yards. 71. They put up 20 points on the board, and it should have been 23 with a Graham Gano missed field goal.
Yeah, again.
That's crazy.
And this is something when we talk, like, this is why coaching is so important. Okay, because it coaching isn't going to make the Giants average, you know, be the Buffalo Bills offense. People are like, well, he had Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. It's like, yeah, of course we're not expecting to be at those levels, at least right away. But what we can do is get our levels higher than what they should have been the last couple of years. And against, essentially with some worse personnel at some areas, they've been able to do that. You know, 20, again, like you said, should have been 23 points today, and that was with 18 minutes of gameplay without having a quarterback. 18 minutes of gameplay where we just didn't have a quarterback, and they were able to put up 20 points on the board.
Yeah, yeah. These Giants wide receivers, it's like 2017 bad. I wasn't doing a Giants podcast in 2017, but I can confidently say, just looking at the names up and down, it's just like, who? Like it'll be a real fun trivia a couple years from now, looking back on, you know, remember David Sills, you know, remember Richie, you know, hopefully maybe Richie James will be around, but yeah, man, we're still in a very tragic, bad spot with this wide receiver room, and that doesn't change after today, for sure.
I want to talk about that first. This episode was brought to you by Darren Cook. He's Dalvin and James' brother.
Wow, Julian knows them.
No, I was going to try and tease Julian. Vinny Filangieri. We've gotten a lot of Italians lately. Good. The Italians come out when the Giants win.
I am demanding that all of the Italian Giants fans subscribe to our Patreon.
And then Alex Grabstein, just ignore these people.
Grabstein, tough name. Love you, though. Patreon.com. It's a good name. Patreon.com/TalkingGiants. $2 a month plus some other tiers. You get to hang out with us live while we watch the shows. Celebrate some Victory Mondays. I'll tell you what, those Green Bay Packers looking a little suspect against Bill Belichick's New England Patriots. Bill Belichick and Joe Judge's New England Patriots, might I add. Bailey Zappi looking pretty decent. They were running the ball, doing some play action. That's what the Giants do. Bobby Skinner will send you some stickers, magnets in the mail. And then also twice a month, there's some opportunities to win some shirts. For the first time today, somebody came up and wearing a Day Balls of Steel. They came up to our tailgate and they were wearing the shirt and it looked absolutely awesome. So patreon.com/TalkingGiants. Come be part of the family.
I just sent 2 out of those to contest winners and the new raffle will be put out tomorrow. So
can I just say, did I already say this? I need to thank our listeners because this is like a big deal for us. And I've talked with like other people at John Boy Media who like look at all this data and stuff, and Bobby and I don't always look at it. The Day Balls of Steel shirt is the best-selling shirt, not only just on the Talking Giants store, it's the best-selling shirt out of the entire John Boy Media store this entire summer. So that's like a really big deal. Like when we like, you know, when we're talking like the higher ups at John Boy Media.
Especially when we don't have ads on a Victory podcast. We need that money. So.
Whoa. Hey. I don't want to talk about that. But I mean, but thank you to everybody who just like supports us in general. So Bobby, what do you want to talk about next?
You know, 4th of July, you know, podcast has 3 ads. This has none. All right. Let's talk about the receiver room. But I want to close out on Daniel Jones. And I guess we could talk about Tyrod very quickly.
Electric.
Because, you know, obviously everything is like a big picture conversation with Daniel Jones, and we're not going to do that on a Monday pod, maybe on a mailbag
where
pod.
He has like 13 attempts, though. I don't even think it's worth having, you know.
Well, that's my thing is, well, that'll be mine, and this isn't some like, oh my gosh, Daniel Jones, amazing game. But he did make, like, his legs are part of him, so I don't like when people try and discount that with any quarterback. I hate when just around the league people will try and like, Lamar Jackson without his legs. It's like, well, one, his legs are there and they're part.
Look at how many big plays these quarterbacks produce. And this is why I've been saying for years that Daniel Jones becomes an average quarterback when you include the explosive play potential of his legs. And if you take that away from him, he is a quarterback that's not really even worthy of a look. You have to have his legs.
So again, this has Daniel Jones through 4 games proven he's a franchise QB, but just micro looking at this game. My thing, like, what else could he have done in this game? Like, the only play that could have changed anything that I think Daniel's done a better job on was that slant throw to Richie James on 3rd down. I think he should have thrown that to Slayton. And then my other critique is he should have put that ball in front of Slayton a little more on the DPI. But again, that ended up turning into 50 yards anyway. So, again, not everything's a big picture conversation on Daniel Jones, but I thought he played his role and did what he was supposed to today and created plays.
Tyrod Taylor had a great punt.
2 of Daniel Jones' best throws didn't even count. Like the one that David Sills didn't count. And then
Tony.
That drop by Tanner Hudson.
You're talking about today.
Tyrod Taylor, I mean, I don't want to talk too much about him because he's a back. And we could talk about what happens at QB towards the end of the podcast.
Also, Daniel Jones plays next week. Yes. I think so.
We'll talk about it at the end, but I don't think so.
Talk about it at the end.
Just what a wild ride for Tyrod Taylor in this game. I mean, comes in, converts a run, throws a pick in the double coverage, comes back out, has a 6 spin move, 3rd down, moves the chains, going head first, then 2 defenders, concussed, out for the game. We don't have a quarterback anymore. Just a wild ride for the Tyrod Taylor experience as a New York Giant so far.
Love it. I mean, that spin move was electric.
It really was. I mean, he created 2 first downs with his legs, but
he did.
He also, on a first and 10, just threw an
interception. Do you think he thought he had a free play there because there was a flag that was thrown
away?
No,
I went
away?
And looked at it because I saw the announcer said something. I went and, like, the flag doesn't come out. One, no one even came close to jumping off sides.
Yeah.
And the flag's coming out, like, when he's getting into his backswing. He just said, screw it, because Darius Slayton beat his guy off the line of scrimmage, which we're going to talk about Slayton in a second. And Eddie Jackson made the play over the top. I mean, it was just a stupid throw.
You throw into double coverage. Don't love that. But also, it's like, Darius Slayton, you got to give a little bit more effort there. Like, play defense. I know Darius Slayton's not a contested catch guy where he's going to jump 4 feet up in the air for it. But, you know, at least play a little defense and get your hand in there and swipe that ball out. So Tyrod can't throw that ball, and Darius Slayton needs to show more effort there.
I mean, he's going full speed trying to. And I mean, the ball was thrown in front of him. You know, it's not. I guess he like, if you slow it down, he could have done something better. But I feel like in the coach's room, there, you know, I don't know.
Tyrod can't throw the ball.
I think that's like a, you know, the whole, like, I don't think Darius Slayton just didn't put any effort in there. I think he's running full speed looking for a big play, and then Eddie Jackson makes a play over the top.
That was a really good punt, though.
Shush up. let's talk about the wide receiver room in general. Darius Slayton was the leading wide receiver with one catch for 11 yards. Richie James, one catch, 9 yards. David Sills, one catch for 5 yards. Kenny Galladay, 0 for 0. Overall, 3 catches on 8 targets. It's an issue, man, and we're beating a dead horse with this. But I still think Slayton is their best piece as a wide receiver right now. Like, Kenny Galladay is a zero. David Sills is, you know, he had a drop. He had, on a 3rd and 6, runs a curl route and floats a yard forward and then catches the ball and tries to turn sideways into a defender. And just bad awareness on that. And Richie James is going to be the guy in the slot until someone gets healthy. But I just think Darius Slayton still is their best piece, their most valuable piece. One, just because he can beat guys deep. Like, we saw 2 deep passes where he beat his guy off the line of scrimmage. You know, he had some other plays where he just beat it. Like, he's the only guy who can beat guys in man coverage.
He's the only guy that could stretch the field vertically.
Yeah, he's the only guy that can stretch the field vertically and beat guys in man coverage. Richie James can find some holes in the zone versus slot as a slot. But he's truly their only man coverage beater on the offense. And I know we'll talk about him dropping on that DPI and stuff, but he was interfered for. He was a little underthrown. And again, if we're arguing about, like, which out of these bad players is the best, so, you know, it's... But I think Darius Slayton should be their number one wide receiver, is what
Darius
I'm saying.
Darius Slayton is the best bad player. I love it.
I'm not even asking to put Kenny Galladay on the field. Like, if you want to put David Sills out there, more power to you. But putting Sills and Galladay out there together, it just doesn't help you as an offense because
they were. I mean, for the majority of today, they were because, I mean, clearly the game plan was... 12 personnel and running heavy. I maybe counted 2 plays in the first half where, you know, the second half they did some funky stuff with 3 running backs on the field with the Wildcat and stuff like that. But in the first half, there were maybe 2-3 plays where they ran out of 11 personnel with just 3 wide receivers, 1 tight end, 1 running back. Everything was David Sills, Kenny Galladay, because they're bigger, more physical, you know, I guess they're better blocking downfield. You know, Sterling Shepard's not here anymore. I think, you know, basically... what Sterling Shepard has done for the majority of the season is they would motion him into the box and Sterling Shepard would hold his own and he would block and he would do a really good job of it. So David Sills, he would motion in and, you know, they would have basically 2 tight ends in the box and then plus David Sills and you would have 5. So that's 5, 6, 7, 8. You have 8 blockers in the box for Saquon Barkley running the ball or Daniel Jones running the ball on like a play action boot. So that was the game plan. At least in the entire first half, you know, when Jones was healthy, it was just 12 personnel, play action, or give it to Saquon. That was it.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about like when they were forced to go to, you know, 3 wide receiver, 11 personnel, like on 3rd downs. It's like having Galladay and Sills out there at the same time doesn't help.
Right. No, but they were avoiding that. That's also my point. They were avoiding having to put wide receivers on the field and having to throw to them. They were actively avoiding that situation.
Yeah, so it's a two-sided coin where it's like it's hard to like be like, oh, well, the wide receivers only had this amount of numbers because they didn't use them like that, but they're also not using them like that because they suck.
Right.
So It's just it's a frustration. Let's talk about the offensive line. Thomas, if you watch every offensive line every week and you maybe not talk about Andrew Thomas and you said Laremy Tunsil maybe offensive tackle one this year.
Who said that?
Because he played really well against Robert Quinn. Well, I hope you watch Andrew Thomas whip Robert Quinn's ass all game long. This was Andrew Thomas' best game of the year, by the way. Best game of the year. Like, every time I focus on him and Robert Quinn's in the dirt, he's like, you're not going to dip around the corner on me, homeboy. So, if you watch offensive line play around the league every week, maybe it's time to start noticing Andrew Thomas. Give him those awards. He dominated. Rest of the offensive line did well run blocking wise. I'm not going to give anyone a big round of applause for pass blocking wise because they went all under center play action all game.
Yeah.
But when they were in those options, like Evan Neal did look good in those times where he was there, and then he got injured.
There was a third down throw to David Sills where he was short of the sticks, where Andrew Thomas just like dumped Robert Quinn.
Multiple times he did that.
Awesome.
You know, even one like the backside of a run where he did those influence blocks, like just smacking him. I won't say like a that I was gonna say, but just Whoa. Smacking him.
There was a Saquon Barkley big run where I saw Nick Filato pointed this out. Saquon Barkley big run to the right side where I think Andrew Thomas had like a reach block. And he gets there and he drives this guy and it's just beautiful stuff. So Andrew Thomas is really, really good. And it's like it's almost getting boring to just say Andrew Thomas is really, really good. Andrew Thomas is really, really good. Well, you know what? We're not getting bored of it.
I refuse to let it get boring until he is named an All-Pro.
Let's do it.
Speaking of I thought the tight ends have done us a fairly solid job blocking. A lot of times teams will get into these heavy formations. Like, well, guess what? Your tight ends suck at blocking, so you're
Tanner Hudson down the field.
Yeah, Hudson, you know, slipping out. Myrick. Bellinger has been a really good blocker for them, like, or at least like a good enough. And then when he slips out, he catches the ball and does his job. I mean, for the last three games, he has 8 catches on 9 targets for 79 yards and a touchdown.
He's got to be the leading receiver.
Today he was.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why this is what I want out of a tight end. Like, obviously, I want the best players at every position, but what I want out of a tight end is a guy who can block and can do his job as a receiver. And that's what Daniel Bellinger has done. You know, like, he has like 16 yards less than what Evan Engram has for the Jaguars this year. You know, and he had 0 catches in the week 1. So he's doing his job. You know, he's averaging this, you know, essentially the same amount of yards per game as Evan Engram last year did for the Giants. So, just want to do a good job. So you want to talk about the defense?
Yeah, let's talk about the defense. Kenny Golladay went down with a knee injury. So Marcus Johnson, that practice squad wide receiver they activated?
Yeah.
So he's in line, I guess. You mentioned Daniel Bellinger. He went out with an injury, or he was walking to the locker room after the game.
Yeah, I got the Tom Rock tweet. He said, besides the 10 Giants players who missed time due to injury today, Ward, Gawinski, Aaron Robinson, Love, concussion, Ojulari, Jones, Taylor, Mondo, Neil Golladay, tight end Daniel Bellinger was seen going to the X-ray room after the contest. So don't know exactly what that means, but I mean, the injuries were insane today. Again, Gawinski went down, came back, Evan Neal went down, both the QBs, Ojulari wasn't on the field at the end of the game because of an injury, Aaron Robinson got hurt, Julian Love concussion as well. Like, they just got it's just ravaged by injury. They're not even like turf injuries either.
That's not too bad. We'll be all right.
Hey, we've won with less before, so all right. That's not including the guys that are already injured. All right, let's talk about the defense.
Yeah, let's talk about the defense. But before that, turns out we do have an ad. How about that? But don't skip it. Don't skip it because this is a very personal one. JM Football. Bobby Skinner has been really, really grinding. Julian, myself, and then, you know, some other editors at the John Boy Media team. We've been really grinding the JM Football channel this year. Bobby Skinner every single week does an interception of the week. He does top runs of the week. There's also the Chris Rose Football Show with CJ Uzama that comes out every few weeks as well. Bobby Skinner did a Micah Parsons All-22 film breakdown last week too as well. So check out the JM Football channel. There was even a Wink Martindale brings the pressure on third down that we did not put on the Talk of Giants channel because there's so much crap that we put on the Talk of Giants channel. So that went on the JM Football channel. So check out that channel. It's like our next big venture outside of Talking Giants that, hey, we really want to impress the people at John Boy Media. We want to keep doing what we're doing.
Being judged on it, so.
So, yes, we are literally being judged on it. We're not being judged on the success of Talking Giants. We are being judged on the success of JM Football. So go check that out. Go give it a sub. All short videos. Thank you very much.
All right, let's talk about the defense and the star of the defense today, and I think, or on Sunday, and I think of the season, is one Dexter Lawrence. Today he had 2 sacks, a tackle for a loss, 3 QB hits. He has been just dominant all season long, but it was frustrating because he didn't have necessarily the stats to back it up. Well, I'm glad he has the stats to back it up now because he is playing lights out. Down in, down out, Dexter Lawrence dominates his opponent. Whether it's driving, you know, the Tennessee Titans offensive line back and getting QB hits that way, or winning initially like he did today. And then in the run game, like almost every run play, Dexter Lawrence just does his job essentially like to a T. Like he plays it, he plays his gap, he extends his arms and is able to shed. You know, he's not making Aaron Donald plays, but he's like, he's been really good this year, and that's something we asked for him this year. Was like, we know you're a good player, Dexter Lawrence. We know you're a pretty solid good player in the NFL, but we need you to start popping, like more so, and have the numbers to back it up.
Yeah.
And through 4 games, he's really done that. You know, so now he has the 2 sacks, a couple tackles for a loss. I wish the tackles for a loss number better represented what he's doing in the run game, and then 7 QB hits. Like, he was 3rd in the NFL for QB hits for defensive tackles coming into this week. And then he had 3 today. So he's going to be, like, top 2. It'll probably be Aaron Donald and Dexter Lawrence is, like, the top 2 QB hits for defensive tackles in the NFL. Like, he has been awesome. And I'm so happy he got the stats to back it up today.
And something that I like to look at as well with interior defense alignment and edge rushers as well. I like to look at double team rate and then your pass rush win rate as well, which, you know, we know that Dexter Lawrence has done a good job of stopping the run. And this is with Leonard Williams, too. But, you know, can you win when you rush the passer? And Aaron Donald is on his own other tier. I mean, his double team rate's like 75%. His win rate is the best in the NFL. But the tier 2 defensive linemen like Quinnen Williams, Chris Jones, Grady Jarrett, Jonathan Allen, the guys that are getting doubled like 65 to 70% of the time, but their win rate is in the tier 2 win rates of the NFL. Dexter Lawrence is right there. Like I said, he is right next to Quinnen Williams, right next to Chris Jones, slightly better than Grady Jarrett, better than Jeffrey Simmons, and better than Jonathan Allen, getting doubled a little bit more than Jonathan Allen, and his win rate is a little bit higher than Jonathan Allen as well. So those are the names that you want to be next to. I mean, especially because, Bobby, the critique that you kind of gave Dexter Lawrence during his PPP is, you know, let's see those stats. Let's see you win a little bit more, make some more flashy plays. And finally, it resulted this week, you know, the win rate matched, you know, kind of what the stats should be. I guess I should say the stats matched what the win rate should be. So good on Dexter Lawrence, defensive player of the game. And he has been this defense's best player, maybe outside of Adoree Jackson, but he showed it today, and it was like awesome that the box score was able to back it up.
I think he's even been better than Adoree Jackson because he's had some rough moments versus CeeDee Lamb. He gave up the big play to Darnell Mooney today, which I think was his first deep pass he's given up as a New York Giant. So I hate to be on pace guy.
Oh boy!
But how many QB hits is Dexter Lawrence on pace for?
This is a great question. I think he has 7.
Yes.
How many does he have in the season?
7.
Oh, good for me. I don't know. What are we through 4? That's a Leonard Williams 2020 season.
That's exactly how many Leonard Williams had in 2020 was 30 QB hits. Now, Leonard Williams had 11.5 sacks in that this year and like 14 tackles for a loss. So that comes into it. But yeah, it's been flat out dominant by Dexter Lawrence. Other pass, Aziz had that strip sack, giant factor. I called it. I was the only person who was like, hey, this guy should be a giant factor this week. And he had a strip sack. That was a big moment. And Kayvon recovered it. Smart play by him. Aziz had some good plays too. You know, and Justin Fields ran out of some plays that maybe could have been an Aziz or Kayvon sack.
Kayvon is fast. Like,
a word?
Wicked fast. Yeah. And not just like you see a lot of the times edge rushers, they're not able to keep up with Fields or, you know, fast quarterbacks. He chased Fields down. Like, I thought that, you know, maybe it's just me and maybe just, I don't know, like over-exaggerating, but I thought the fact that Kayvon chasing Justin Fields down instead of just letting him get around him, I thought that changed the trajectory of certain plays in this game, that Kayvon just ran him down and it forced Fields to throw it away or do something different with the ball.
Yeah, I'm excited to like really go dive in and watch the film of Kayvon, see what, because it's so hard to see exactly broadcast unless you're getting sacks and all that good stuff. The two players that people aren't really talking much about after this game, who I thought made a huge difference, lined up in maybe the Giants' weakest position group, I guess outside of wide receiver, inside linebacker.
Yep.
Jalen Smith came in and they healthy scratched Austin Kolitra. Like, Austin Kolitra was put in the doghouse for his play last week. Jalen Smith had 7 tackles, 1 tackle for a loss on that screen pass. Like, he just plays fast and physical, and he plays his gap, which is, you know, sound football. And then Tate Crowder. Like, Tate Crowder was really good in the run. He had some plays and coverage that weren't good. One could have been a touchdown that Justin Fields just sucks and didn't throw it. But he had 11 tackles for a loss. Or, sorry, 11 tackles for a loss. He had 11 tackles, 1 for a loss, a sack, and 2 QB hits. So, you know, did his job as a pass rusher. It's not like he's winning pass rush routes, but did his job within the system. And then Jalen Smith both look good, too. Like, they both played fast and physical, and that's what we need out of our linebackers in this defense, to play fast and physical. We know neither one of you guys are going to be good in coverage, but just do your job, play your role, and do it fast and physical, and that's what we need. That's what we were not getting out of Austin Kolitra.
Yeah, that was cool.
Or Tate Crowder at times.
That was cool. I wanted Jalen Smith to be activated even last week. But I guess, you know, hey, he was just on the team for a couple days. So I'm glad that they activated him this week. And I'm glad that they healthy scratched Austin Kolitra, because it meant that Jalen Smith was going to get some significant reps. I want him to get more reps. I know it's about playing the young guys, and you want to see what you got in Micah McFadden, and he does some things well, and you don't want to totally bench him. But Jalen Smith is not a bad football player. You know, maybe, you know, yeah, 31 other teams passed on him, but I mean, with his time with the Giants last year, and then the one game that he's played in Wink's system this year, it's not a bad football player, especially compared to some of the other guys that we've had. So,
well, and McFadden played a little bit. He had 4 tackles. I have to go watch him closely to see exactly how it went down. So I'm just glad Austin Kolitra's not getting any reps. So they did their job, obviously, against a bad quarterback in Justin Fields. But they, you know what, the Bears tried to run the ball a lot. You know, they had 150 yards rushing, but over 50 of those came from Justin Fields. And that's where, like, we held them to 12 points, and 3 of those points came after a muffed Richie James punt return. I thought Wink adjusts week to week, and that's what I like about him. Like, I think he went to some too high coverages at a lot of times. He didn't blitz it. Like, on third downs, there was 2 third downs where they 3-man rushed, and they funneled, Justin Fields into pressure. You know, like, Kayvon was triple teamed on one play, and he still kind of got, broke through. So just did some different stuff and gave different looks at Justin Fields, and that's something we said into this game is, pressure is not going to kill Justin Fields, but it's going to be pressure on plays that need to develop. But if you get pressure and it's like, okay, they got man coverage, those are the plays Fields can make. But when you got, you know, some pressure, a 4-man pressure, and it's not going to do, like, let me articulate this. The Giants aren't just going to totally get home quickly on 4-man pressure versus anybody team. But against the Bears' bad offensive line, they were able to get pressure with a 4-man. May not be the quickest, but Justin Fields is a slow processor, so that messes with him because he's very slow with his timing. Like, he gets the ball out late, so you didn't need to have these like against Cooper Rush. You rush 4, it doesn't make a difference because he's getting the ball out quick. So I just thought they threw a bunch of different looks at him and, you know, made him look like the bad quarterback that he essentially is. You know, and didn't, you know, he had a couple of nice plays with his feet, which is the first time we really faced a run threat as a defense. You know, that is an issue. And then had the big play of the Darnell Mooney. But again, like, Adoree Jackson has to win versus Darnell Mooney deep. And it's the only deep pass he's given up. So, like, that's not a scheme thing. Or you know, that's just Justin Fields and Darnell Mooney making a great play.
Yeah. And what helped today, you know, Giants take advantage of a bad Bears offensive line, at least pass blocking wise. 6 sacks. I think they had how many sacks heading into today?
3.
So they doubled that total from the first 3 games. So having 6 sacks and 6 negative plays is a very, very good thing. Julian, you compiled these stats after the game. The Giants defense stopping teams on third and short. That was back today. The Bears were 1 for 6 on third and four or less. That's not always going to continue. It did not continue against Dallas. I bet you it's not going to continue into Green Bay. The Giants need to continue to try and get teams in the third and long, but very much on par with the first two games of the season, like 66% of the time, the Giants defense stopped teams on third and shorts. And then this game, the Bears were only 1 for 6. And then also Doug, you know, remember Doug, who has a very complicated handle that you don't want me to read again. He has been really killing it with posting stats, and he's been doing an awesome job kind of just diving into stuff. And he tweeted out, prior to Sunday Night Football, the Giants are the only defense to not allow a red zone touchdown in week 4. The Bears went 0 for 3 inside the red zone with 3 field goals. And then the Giants defense overall this season is second in the NFL in red zone to touchdown percentage at 35.7%. So bend but don't break, you know, even though Patrick Graham is, even though Patrick Graham's gone, you know, that overall philosophy of bending but don't break and allowing 3 is a lot better than allowing 7. So good on the Giants defense. I think those 3 things, negative plays, stopping the Bears on third and short, and then keeping them the field goals and not touchdowns, that's what I think helped the Giants win the game today.
Yeah, and we've asked Wink Martindale to perform versus bad quarterbacks, you know, with the personnel they have, where they, you know, Fabian Moreau. By the way, Fabian Moreau, 2 pass breakups and 2 big ones, you know, one against Equanimeous St. Brown, and then there was another one. He played really well today. I think he should be the starting outside corner going forward.
Disagree.
What do you think?
Disagree. Cordell Flott was hurt. He would have also balled out today if he was healthy.
But he didn't.
But he didn't. You're right. I can't disagree.
Fabian Moreau, he's the guy. Obviously, you know, we're playing against a bad Bears offense, but that's what we did. The defense did their job, and you know, they were a huge part in winning the game, like the running game, and you know, run the ball and play defense. That's how we won the game today. So we won in an old school way, but wins are wins, and that's what we're going to do with this personnel. Do you have anything else on the defense you want to hit on before we talk about the QB situation?
Thought Xavier McKinney came up, played the run kind of well. I always want to talk about him. Did he have a tackle for loss today?
There was one really good run rep he had. I can't remember if it was a tackle for loss, but
no, it was not. But I remember it was like a gang tackle. So I think somebody hits a running back high, he comes in and hits him low. So that was good. So Xavier McKinney's still doing some good stuff. Defense,
I mean, a lot
fun.
Of offensive game plans are going to be avoid Xavier McKinney, and that's what has happened this year.
Get sacks, force negative plays. I mean, that's it helps. It helps tremendously. And it's
still
gonna be
no
tough.
Interception this year, though.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Like, do you think, like, your Bobby Skinner philosophy of defense, running zone coverage to baiting quarterbacks into doing things, does that lead to more interceptions, or playing closer man to man and then DBs making like awesome plays, does that lead to more interceptions? What do you think?
I think baiting them leads to more interceptions.
I would agree.
It's just, I don't even know what, I guess it could be, I think it might just be a personnel thing. It's like, they haven't had a lot of great pass rush. I don't know, to be honest.
We'll see. More sacks.
So, anything else on the defense before we talk about the QB situation?
No, let's talk about the QB
situation.
Davis
Webb, I think, is going to be our starting quarterback in London versus the Packers.
No.
Daniel
Get
Jones.
Out of here.
Daniel Jones missed 2 games in 2019 with a sprained ankle. He finished that game in the snowing weather in New Jersey versus the Packers game. He couldn't move. Like, he flat out could not move.
I saw him running today. He was running on the sideline.
Yeah, that was the adrenaline directly after. And then after 10 minutes, he could not move. He flat out could not move. And then Tyrod Taylor, I doubt he's going to be cleared for concussion protocol within a week, especially with the temperature of the NFL right now.
Yeah.
I think Davis Webb is going to be our starting quarterback next week.
Run the damn ball.
Yeah. We'll see if that preseason translates to all that preseason love.
Get Alex Bachman back.
We may need a backup quarterback, though. Have you ever considered Greg's dad?
Greg's dad, that was quite a throwback. I loved being put back in that mindset. Was that when we had Fromm and Glennon and that whole dilemma, yeah. And it was just a mess. Yeah.
Well, no, we did, it was actually before the Bears game last year where it was after Jake Fromm was horrible in his start, and I said, who do you think should be the Giants starter next week? And Greg said, my dad. It would mean Greg's a lot dad. To him.
Yeah.
And the legend of Greg's dad grew. You know what's crazy is Eli Manning actually would probably be the best option that's out there, but obviously he's not coming out of retirement.
You sure about that?
Yeah. Chad Powers isn't coming out of retirement.
One day contract, literally one day.
They didn't run a fourth QB at all in training camp, too. So it's not like there's somebody that's familiar with them. So I don't know. I'm not going to
sit here. Mitchell Trubisky just got benched.
Kadarius Toney posted on his Snapchat story 2 hours ago three of his best UF quarterback highlights.
See? He knows
you know
the playbook.
What Kadarius Toney should do is get on the field. How about that? We need him at wide receiver. Carl Banks, by the way, lit into Toney a little bit on his.
He did.
But and I agreed with it. It's basically what echoing what we said on the mailbag pod. It's like you just can't count on him.
And you would also think that he knows a little bit more than most. So hearing that from him is even more concerning.
That makes me think that like even more. Like I already think that the Giants organization does not like Kadarius Toney, but the fact that Carl Banks is going really in on Kadarius Toney, that makes me feel like
well, that means they've gotten the green light to be critical when they don't really have the green light to be critical.
Correct.
You know they're critical calling the game, but like throughout the week they are very and I get it they work for the organization, but you know it's like when you know 2 weeks left in this 2019 season and all of a sudden Carl Banks just hates James Betcher. It's like where was this energy the whole year?
Yeah.
So it's an issue.
I think Daniel Jones is playing.
I don't know.
That's because part I can't, of the frustrating because thing I with, can't deal. I'm celebrating a win. I can't deal with thinking about Davis Webb waking up. All right, 9:30 a.m. Sunday, Davis Webb against our Green Bay Packers.
NFL Twitter is going to roast us for that. All right, so that's the show. So if you like, hey, I came for my Giants analysis. That's all I want. Then that's the show is over. But I want to finish talking this. Julian, your mom got mad at us today. What happened?
Oh no.
Let me pull up the text, actually. So she texted me. Where are we? She was not happy about the Bears post. I'll say that. She said,
oh, sure.
The good morning post.
At 8:27 a.m., she said, sorry, but absolutely dislike the Bear post. Is this you, ?
Which she should have known it wasn't you because it was horrible editing. Like, I literally just took
That's what I was thinking. It was a little bit of a slight to me, I thought. But and then I said, no, with a bunch of ha's. And she said, I did not think so. Very bad, comma. Sorry to see this. Which that actually had me dying because that was like a Trump line. Just like, very bad. Sorry to see this. And she was super disappointed.
Well, here's the thing is, do I understand that people don't like that? Absolutely. Like, I get it. In fact, me personally, I think if you hunt something, you should eat it. Like, I don't like the idea. And I'm not going to get mad at anyone for doing it, but I'm like, I'm big. Like if I ever hunted something, I would eat it. I'm not going to just hunt something just to, you know, to say I did.
We ate the bears today.
So, and I could see people being like, hey, I don't want to see this. But my thing would be like, then move on. Like we didn't kill the bear, you know, like we didn't actually kill that bear. Some hunter killed the bear, legally killed it. And we just put Daniel Jones killed it.
You know, it's funny. My mother hasn't even said anything about those posts, and she definitely sees them.
Yeah. So, again, I get when people are like, delete this. It's like, well, what does that change? It's like, we do this every single week, 8 a.m. Sunday morning. It's our good morning posts.
Like, it's also very, very clearly just like a playful, joking post.
Yeah. I'm not like out here like picketing saying like, kill all bears, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's one of my favorite Ali Borat on Ali G when he's like, you know, they're doing like the hunting protests. And maybe I could just pull it up. But they're like,
you should have flipped it on your mom and you should have been like, wow, are you serious right now? Like, you're getting mad at me when you think that I did that? That piss poor editing job? You should have just flipped it like right there.
That was going in my mind. In her defense, though, I have heard some of the brainstorming of previous previous ideas that didn't make the cut.
Yeah, there's messed up ones out there that were like, we're not going to post this. Like the Broncos one last year was like, this is just like what's happening on this video is like illegal. But
shout out my mom though.
Shout out mom.
She's keeping up with all the posts, so I'll give her that.
Hey, Sunday 8 a.m. up, ready for Giants game day. Love it.
My mom watches a ton of football from France too, so just like not native at all. My mom is also getting way too much shout out time in this podcast right now.
Love that. No, disagree. We need more Julian's mom.
Yeah, are you ready, Bobby? My rule, right? I don't really talk about my family much in the show. This is Borat in Britain, like when they're doing like protests against like hunting foxes.
Hunt the fox.
I do not hunt the fox. I think people that hunt the fox are the scum of the earth.
He shows his jacket.
Kills them.
Yes, kill them.
You eat
kills
them.
You kill them. That's evil.
No, in Kazakhstan, we shoot the animal. We do not hunt the fox.
Well, you should be talking to us because we love animals. And that's why we're here.
We love animals too.
Why'd you shoot them?
For fun.
For fun. Oh, that gets me every time. Ugh. Some of the best Borat, like Sacha Baron Cohen, is like from Ali G. When he goes to a veterinarian who's also a veteran and just keeps on getting confused, and the guy's just like losing his mind. He's like, so why did so many people go to Vietnam to help with animals? He's like, those are veterans. Anyways. All right, that's the show. I'm actually going to post that on Twitter now that I'm thinking about it. So, we appreciate you guys. We'll see you on Wednesday for a mailbag pod, O-line report, film review, all that good stuff will be out this week. We'll see you then. Until then, let's go Big Blue.
John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.